I can start by giving you a little background information about this zone. We're talking about 60,000 acres of cotton. The program started with the fall diapaus sprays in 2001, so its first full season was 2002. So now we're going on its ninth year in 2010. The assessment fee last year for irrigated cotton was $27, $12 for dry land. About half of that acreage is in the Brazos River bottom, a three-county area in this circle. And that bottom, we're talking about a 60-mile stretch, 5 miles wide along the Brazos River. To give you some idea of the production schedule there, we have an early April planting date. First bloom around early June, harvesting September through October. The important thing to remember is we have a destruction deadline of October 31st, but our first freeze date on average is November 29th, so that leads to a situation, as Larry mentioned, where you have regrowth out there. And that's probably our biggest problem in that area is timely crop destruction. Regrowth of cotton is probably the bigger factor, more so than volunteer plants and other crops. But we do have that issue from in some years, especially when we have a dry fall and those seeds don't germinate. We're also dealing with a bunch of, since I don't see any of the producers here, they're hard-headed producers. They don't want to be told anything. And one of the things, when I first started working in that area, gosh, a decade now, there's virtually no extension producer relationship. We have very poor participation at the Cotton Producers Advisory Committee meetings. You may have three producers show up, and the ones that do show up are the ones that wanted a crop extension extension on their deadline. I think the biggest challenge now is the producers in that area are content with the program as it is now. They're satisfied with paying $27 an acre as an assessment fee. Also, this isn't unique to this area, but we do have a tremendous amount of turnover in the Eradication Foundation, from trap runners all the way to the zone manager level. In the 8 full years of the program, we've already had 4 zone managers. And a lot of those turnovers occur during the mid-season, so you have tremendous potential for gaps in trap servicing or treatment of fields as a result. Also, as Noel mentioned, weather is an issue in his area. Well, it's the same here, especially rainfall, as I'm going to show here next. We also have a lot of cotton under power lines or next to brush or wood edges. Makes it a challenge to treat those areas. If you look at the average rainfall by month, our rainiest month is actually May, and that's also the time when plants are starting to produce squares and overwintered weevils are emerging, probably at its peak emergence at that time. Our second rainiest month is in October when all the harvest practice is going on, so that creates a challenge. So I'm going to go through here and give you a few pictures of what we're talking about of trap access as a result of rain. Obviously, these guys can't drive down this road, and if they have to walk it, they can only check so many traps. And it's not just rain that creates this. About 80% of that area is irrigated, so you have some problems with irrigation creating these hard access areas. As I mentioned, you know, we have power lines that we have to deal with, the brush lines. Try to come in with a mist blower, you obviously can't drive through that. Woods creates another challenge treating along these edges. Also later in the year, as I mentioned, in October when you have rain, we have standing water here. Can't see very well here, but there's some problems that rain in October creates. We'll go over some slides showing the extent of regrowth we're talking about, and the thing to keep in mind is the date of these pictures. And keep in mind that we're talking, our stock destruction deadline is October 31st. So this is well beyond Here's a field where the producer actually defoliated, we got some rain, and now we have all this regrowth back. This field actually looked like a field in July there, except for the reddening of the leaves. See, it's loaded up with squares. You see the open bowls down low. They just didn't do anything with this field. Actually, there's a flared square right there. This is more typical. We see a lot of this where they've come in, harvested, shredded the stalks, but then you have a lot of regrowth that just sits out there. This is actually a dry landfill where the producer came in, harvested, shredded, disked it up well in time before this destruction deadline. Then we got some rain. And this is all the seeds that germinated, and we have all these plants now coming up. To a lesser extent, we do have problems with volunteer plants and other crops. I think the biggest problem there is often these plants aren't detected until that corn field or sorghum field is harvested. So we don't even know about those plants. But again, this is not a every year issue, it's just during those dry fall years. This was a unique situation. This image in the center was taken with a multispectral camera. It's an old pad that was being put up into a cotton field. The surrounding area, I mean the field had already been harvested, but you see this red area, and those are actually cotton plants. And when we saw that, we said, well, let's go inside and look what it looks like inside. And actually, this wall is about an 8-10 foot tall berm. You can't even see these plants from the outside, so we had to actually go inside, and what we found was kind of shocking. We see all these plants, great water source. You have anywhere from regrowth to actually plants that germinated from seed, just surrounding the whole area. So how do we improve our progress in this area? Well, I think the most important thing is we have to establish an education program. It's got to be a joint effort between USDA, TDA, AgriLife Extension. I see Dr. Roy Parker's sitting out there. Hopefully he's going to lead that effort this year in this area. We've got to inform these producers the importance of timely crop destruction. We've got to give them information. What's the benefit of getting rid of the weevil now? But we also have to provide these producers with solutions. We can't tell them, well, you need to get rid of your cotton in this corn. Well, we've got to tell them the best way. What chemicals can they use to get rid of it? And as I mentioned, we're dealing with some hard-headed producers. There's really just a half a dozen key producers. I think to get to them, it has to be a door-to-door approach. I mean, they're just not going to come to a meeting. If you say we're going to have a meeting, they just don't show up for some reason. We've also got to do a better job of detecting and remediating regrowth and volunteer plants. Our engineers and myself, we're looking at using remote sensing technology to detect cotton and regrowth, as well as volunteer plants in other habitats. We've also got to continue research, figure out what are the best chemicals or mechanical ways of getting rid of those plants. I know Galen Morgan and Danny Frommy are looking at some of the chemicals. We've got to remain diligent in enforcement or penalty fees for non-compliance. And I won't use the word penalties because they've changed that terminology now. They're more, they call them fees instead of penalties for going beyond the destruction deadline. And we've also have to set strict guidelines or criteria for granting these blanket extensions on crop destruction. TDA's really stepped up this year. They're looking at whether future, beyond the requested dates, to look at degree day accumulations, looking at weather patterns. If the weather's cool and cotton's not going to do anything anyway, they're likely not to grant that extension. Also, we have to continue to refine trapping and treatment strategies. Continue to improve on our trap, pheromone lure research. One of the things we did this year in Uvalde was look at lure quality, and as it turns out, that may be responsible for some of the detection failures in that area. Also, Scott and Dr. Patricia Cantrantonios continue their resistance monitoring just in case there are some failures. We need to know, is it a resistance issue or a coverage or some other factor. Also, I think there's still some room for some research and application technology. I know our engineers have worked with the mosquito control group looking at different nozzles for their mist blowers for mosquito control. So I think there's still some room for effort and research in that area. Also, we've got to remain flexible and look at some alternate treatment criteria or strategies. One thing the eradication did this year, when a trap triggered, instead of treating that single field, they were treating the surrounding fields as well. Also, if you can't run your traps, obviously if you're basing your treatments on trap catchers and you're not able to run your traps, well, they're also going in and making the automatic treatments, especially in hotspot areas. With that, I'd like to acknowledge these people and be willing to take any questions. I think we have some time.